You know that feeling when you finally get a brand new computer? You pull it out of the box, peel off all that protective plastic, and you hit the power button for the very first time.
Oh yeah, nothing beats that new computer smell.
Right. The screen lights up, the desktop is totally clean, and everything is just running lightning fast. You're ready to work.
And then the anxiety hits.
Exactly. Almost immediately, down on the bottom corner of your screen, this little box pops up featuring a flashing red shield. And the message is always so dire.
It really is.
It basically tells you that your brand new machine is already, like, completely vulnerable, and the internet is this terrifying place filled with unseen threats. And you need to click install and hand over your credit card right now if you want to stay safe.
Yeah, it is a highly engineered, very specific kind of panic they're trying to induce in the user.
It's basically extortion.
I mean, functionally, yeah, you've just spent a significant amount of money on a new device. And before you can even open a web browser, they are essentially practicing digital extortion right out of the gate. They're leveraging your fear of the unknown.
Which is incredibly effective because, you know, whether you're a complete tech novice who just wants to check your email without getting hacked, or even if you're a seasoned software developer building complex apps, almost everyone listening to this deep dive has blindly clicked install on an antivirus program at some point.
We absolutely all have.
We just do it to make that flashing red shield go away so we can get back to our lives.
Right, because we view it as the path of least resistance. We just want the machine to work safely, so we outsource the problem to whichever company is screaming the loudest on our desktop.
Yeah, the loudest flashing icon wins.
Exactly. But the underlying reality of how we actually secure these machines has shifted so dramatically over the last few years. And honestly, the software companies are kind of relying on us not noticing that shift.
Which perfectly brings us to our mission for today. We are cutting straight through the fear-based marketing of the modern cybersecurity world.
It's about time.
Our source material today is a really comprehensive 2026 GuardPick practical guide, specifically written for Windows users. We are bypassing all the flashy marketing materials and looking directly at actual independent lab data, real-world system impacts, and frankly, the hidden financial costs of keeping a computer safe today.
There is a lot of hidden cost.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to figure out what actually matters in 2026, we have to start by analyzing the software that is probably already sitting on your computer right now completely for free.
Yeah, we really need to discuss Windows Defender.
We do. Now, if you're of a certain age, hearing the name Windows Defender might genuinely make you wince.
I know, I just winced a little bit.
Right. I mean, I remember the old versions from a decade ago. It was basically the software equivalent of like a sleepy mall cop armed with a dying flashlight.
That is a very accurate description.
It just missed absolutely everything. And the conventional wisdom back then was that you had to replace it immediately.
Yeah, and that reputation was entirely earned in those early days. It was this secondary, almost token effort at security by Microsoft. The detection rates were abysmal. The interface was clunky. It was bad.
Really bad.
But here is the critical piece of context: that heavily outdated reputation. That is exactly what premium paid antivirus companies are banking on you believing today.
They need you to think it's still that sleepy mall cop.
Hooray! They need that narrative to survive.
But looking at this 2026 GuardPick guide, the current version of Windows Defender has evolved into something entirely different. It functions way more like a fully armed invisible security detail now.
It really is a powerhouse.
Listen to the data on this because it blew my mind. In the February 2026 evaluation by AV-Test, which, for those who don't know, is one of the premier independent software testing labs based in Germany, Microsoft Defender Antivirus scored a perfect 6 out of 6.
What's fascinating here is how rigorous that testing actually is. AV-Test doesn't just run a quick scan on some, old folder of known viruses from 2015.
Right, it's not a basic test.
No, they are throwing zero-day exploits at the software. They're testing how it handles brand new, unknown, actively in the wild threats. So, earning a perfect score across their three distinct categories, which are protection, performance, and usability, it means the software is performing at an absolutely elite level.
And it achieves scores that are totally identical to massive paid security suites that cost users up to like $125 a year.
And it's free.
It's already built deep into the architecture of Windows 10 and 11. It requires zero account creation. You don't have to download a single file to get it running. And there are absolutely no renewal fees. It just updates silently in the background, while you do your work.
For a very specific type of user, the free option is genuinely a legitimate baseline now. The industry standard has been raised so significantly.
But there is a catch, right?
Yeah, there is. Relying solely on that free baseline is highly dependent on your daily computing habits. The GuardPick guide explicitly refers to this as having low exposure.
Meaning, you know, you aren't actively seeking out trouble on the internet.
Precisely. If you have mainstream browsing habits, you stick to major websites, you keep your operating system updated automatically, you absolutely never download pirated or cracked software, and you actually utilize unique passwords across your accounts, Defender is an excellent engine.
Okay, so where does it fall short?
Where it falls short compared to the premium suites are the bundled extras. Things like virtual private networks or built-in password managers, identity theft monitoring, that kind of stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
But purely as a mechanism designed to detect and quarantine malicious code, it is world-class, and there is a specific hidden gem inside Windows Defender that the GuardPick guide strongly recommends every user turn on today.
Oh, this is the part the vast majority of people don't even know exists.
Exactly.
You're talking about the controlled folder access feature?
That's the one. You have to actively go into your Windows security settings, navigate under ransomware protection, and manually toggle it on.
Why isn't it just on by default?
Well, it can be a little strict sometimes, so Microsoft leaves it off. But to understand why this is so crucial, you really have to understand how ransomware operates today.
Walk us through it.
So, ransomware doesn't generally try to steal your files to read them. It tries to scramble them using heavy encryption. It turns your family photos or your tax documents into completely unreadable gibberish. And then it demands a financial payment, a ransom, for the decryption key to unlock them.
It's a nightmare scenario. So how does controlled folder access actually stop that mechanism?
By fundamentally changing how the operating system treats your most important directories. When you turn that feature on, the operating system effectively puts a physical kernel-level lock on the door to your documents and pictures folders.
A kernel-level lock. Meaning what, practically?
Meaning no unauthorized application is allowed to make any changes to the files inside those folders, period. Even if a piece of brand new, highly sophisticated ransomware somehow slips past the initial virus scan and attempts to encrypt your photos, the operating system itself steps in and denies the program permission to execute that change.
Wow. So it's a completely free, highly effective layer of ransomware defense, and it costs the user absolutely nothing.
Nothing but 2 minutes of clicking through menus.
But this brings up a rather massive contradiction that I want to push back on. If the free, built-in option is scoring perfect sixes in the independent labs, and it has these incredibly powerful hidden features like we just talked about, why are millions of intelligent people still paying hundreds of dollars for third-party suites? Mm-hmm. I mean, are they just entirely falling for the marketing, or is there a genuine technical gap here?
It isn't just a marketing illusion, though. Marketing definitely plays a heavy role. While the core detection engines are all remarkably good now across the board, the actual reason to pull out your credit card isn't about getting some massive leap in virus detection capability. It's about solving specific hardware constraints and removing friction from your daily workflow.
So what does this all mean when we look at the actual numbers? Mm-hmm. Because the GuardPick guide cites the AV Comparatives 2025 annual summary, which tests all these engines head-to-head.
Yeah, those numbers are very revealing.
They really are. The summary shows Bitdefender sitting at a 99.98% detection rate. Norton is right behind at 99.95%, and ESET comes in at 99.76%.
Very tight grouping.
Exactly. Are we just splitting hairs at this level? Mm-hmm. Will a normal person working on a laptop actually notice a fraction of a percent difference in virus detection?
In terms of purely catching a malicious code, absolutely not. I mean, you were talking about a mathematical difference of perhaps two obscure pieces of malware out of 10,000 samples tested in a highly controlled, totally artificial lab environment.
So it's basically a tie.
For the average user working from their living room, yes, those detection rates are a functional tie. But when you look past those tiny fractions of a percent, you start to see the real differentiators in the paid market. It's about how the software feels to use on a daily basis and what specific problems it actually solves for the user.
Okay, let's break that down with the big three premium suites highlighted in the source, starting with Bitdefender Total Security. The guide labels this as the absolute best option for set and forget users.
That designation is largely due to an engineering choice they call autopilot mode.
Which sounds great, honestly.
It is. Think of it like hiring a very competent, very quiet security assistant. Traditional antivirus software is incredibly noisy, right?
Oh yeah, constantly popping up WinTalk.
Yeah, exactly. Asking you, are you sure you want to allow this connection? Do you want to block this background process? It's exhausting. Bitdefender's autopilot makes all those security decisions in the background based on established safety parameters without bothering you at all. It just shows you a single reassuring indicator, protected or not protected.
Which solves a massive point of friction. Nobody wants to act as a part-time security analyst for their own laptop while they're just trying to write an email.
Exactly.
But the guide points out a pretty significant catch with Bitdefender. Their bundled VPN, the virtual private network, is capped at a tiny 200 megabytes per day.
Yeah, that is a real sticking point. To understand why that cap matters, we have to look at the mechanics of public Wi-Fi.
Now,
when you connect to a network at, say, a coffee shop or an airport, anyone with a little technical know-how on that same exact network can potentially intercept the data you're sending. It is essentially like writing your passwords on a postcard and just handing it to the barista to mail for you.
Yikes. Not ideal.
No. So a VPN protects you by putting that postcard inside a locked, heavily encrypted steel box before sending it out over the local network.
But 200 megabytes of data inside that steel box is, like, practically nothing.
It's really nothing. It is enough to securely log into your bank portal and check your balance while drinking a latte, but it is absolutely not enough data to stream a movie, and it certainly won't cover leaving the VPN running all afternoon while you work remotely and take video calls. You'll blow through that cap in 5 minutes on a Zoom call.
So if that tiny limit makes the bundled VPN effectively useless for a remote worker, does the guide offer a better alternative? Because that feels like a massive oversight for people who practically live on public Wi-Fi.
This is exactly where Norton 360 Deluxe finds its target audience. The guide highlights Norton because it is the only major consumer security suite that offers a genuinely unlimited VPN included in the standard price.
Now that is a fundamental difference in value.
Huge difference.
If you travel constantly and your life consists of connecting to untrusted networks in airport lounges and hotel lobbies, paying for Norton means you are essentially paying for an unlimited encrypted VPN service that just happens to have a world-class antivirus engine attached to it.
Yeah.
It solves the specific problem of network exposure.
It does. It absolutely solves that. But there is an entirely different kind of problem that pushes people toward the paid tier and has nothing to do with networks.
What's that?
It has to do with aging hardware. And this is where ESET Internet Security really demonstrates its value.
Oh, the data on ESET genuinely surprised me. According to the independent tests in the guide, ESET holds the absolute lowest system impact score on the market, a 1.4 out of 100.
This is where the underlying engineering of the software really comes into play. You have to remember how antivirus software actually functions on a machine.
It's always scanning, right?
Right. In order to keep you safe, the software has to act as a checkpoint. It has to inspect every single file you touch, every program you launch, every web page you load before allowing the computer to process it. That constant interception uses your computer's resources, its memory, its processor.
Which is why antivirus is notorious for being computationally heavy. It slows everything else down.
Exactly. But the guide quantifies that heavy feeling. It notes that ESET only slows down application launches by a microscopic 0.9%.
That's incredible.
Contrast that with a competitor like McAfee, which slows down those exact same app launches by 6.4%.
Now, if you're sitting at a desk with a brand new $3,000 gaming rig with massive amounts of processing power, you probably won't even notice that 6.4% performance penalty. Your machine can just handle the load.
Right. It can power through it.
But consider a user who has, say, a 5-year-old laptop with only 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to open a heavy spreadsheet.
You are going to feel every single percentage point of that slowdown on an older machine. Clicking a browser icon and having to wait 5 seconds for it to open versus waiting 1 second is a highly frustrating, tangible degradation of your daily experience.
It completely disrupts your workflow. In that specific hardware situation, paying for ESET's incredibly lightweight engineering is essentially paying to get your computer speed back. That tangible improvement in daily responsiveness is a much bigger deal to the average user than a theoretical 0.2% boost in virus detection. You aren't paying for better virus catching at all. You're paying to remove the friction of a sluggish machine.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so we've established that there are valid specific reasons to upgrade to a paid suite. But here's where it gets really interesting. Because if you do decide to enter the premium market, the GuardPick guide reveals that the biggest threat to your wallet isn't actually malware.
Oh, not at all.
It is the antivirus company's billing department.
The industry relies heavily on what is known as the renewal price trap. It is a pervasive economic model across the entire consumer cybersecurity sector.
It is brutal, and honestly, it mirrors the tactics of a predatory cable company.
Very similar, yeah.
They offer you this incredibly sweet, subsidized introductory rate just to get the software onto your hard drive. And then once you're locked into their ecosystem and inevitably forget about the billing cycle, they quietly fleece you on the renewal. I mean, think about your own finances for a second. How many active subscriptions do you have running right now that you fully intended to cancel but just forgot about?
It is a calculated business model. These companies rely heavily on the psychology of friction.
Also,
they know that the mental burden of finding the cancellation button, navigating those awful retention menus, and then researching a whole new security suite is perceived by the user as higher than the pain of simply absorbing the monthly fee.
Look at the sheer math provided in the guide. Take Bitdefender Total Security. We just established it's an incredible product for set and forget users. The price for year one is $19.99.
And it's a steal.
It is. It's an amazing deal for elite protection. But in year two, the automatic renewal price rockets up to $89.99.
Wow.
That is a 350% price increase simply for staying a loyal customer. Norton utilizes the exact same tactic. Their suite jumps from $42 in the first year to almost $95 upon renewal. That's a 126% hike.
This raises an important question regarding corporate transparency in the tech sector. As a consumer, you are purchasing a product specifically designed to make you feel secure, protected, and free from malicious intent. And yet, the very company providing that peace of mind is utilizing highly deceptive financial practices to extract more money from you.
It's hypocritical.
It fundamentally erodes trust in the product.
The guide actually specifically points to Total AV as a major cautionary tale regarding this erosion of trust. From a purely technical engineering standpoint, Total AV scored a perfect 6 out of 6 in the AV test evaluations.
The code works beautifully.
Right. But the guide heavily penalizes them because they have a documented, consistent pattern across consumer watchdog boards of aggressive auto renewals, charging users prices that differ from the initial agreement, and employing a highly difficult, convoluted cancellation process.
It all circles back to that concept of friction. If a piece of software successfully removes the friction of dealing with malware, but simultaneously introduces this massive friction of having to fight with a customer service representative just to get a refund for a non-authorized charge, can we actually classify it as a good consumer product?
Probably not.
The guide praises ESET in this specific category for being the most financially transparent of the group.
The numbers back that up, too. ESET's pricing goes from $49.99 in year one to $59.99 in year two. That is a totally reasonable 20% bump. There's no massive sticker shock when you check your credit card statement.
But, you know, if a user still wants the specific features of Bitdefender or Norton, the most effective antivirus behavior they can deploy has absolutely nothing to do with software code.
What is it?
The best defense is opening your calendar application the exact day you purchase the software and setting a hard reminder for 30 days before the subscription is scheduled to renew.
So you just log in, cancel the auto renewal, and then resubscribe at whatever the current promotional rate is.
Exactly. You completely bypass the loyal customer penalty. The takeaway here is that you have to actively manage these financial subscriptions. You cannot afford to just set them and forget them financially, even if the software engine itself is designed to be set and forget.
Let's follow this logic all the way through, though. Let's say you do everything perfectly. You set your calendar reminders and dodge the subscription traps. You buy the perfect lightweight software for your specific hardware, and your AV test scores are totally flawless.
Okay, best case scenario.
According to the reality check in this 2026 GuardPick guide, your computer is still highly vulnerable to being compromised.
Because software code, no matter how sophisticated or perfectly engineered it is, cannot patch human psychology.
This is the massive blind spot that most antivirus marketing completely ignores. They sell you a shield, but the shield is practically useless against the most common threats operating today. The first major example the guide provides is phishing without malware.
This concept is crucial to understand because it bypasses the antivirus engine entirely.
How does that work?
Let's say you receive an urgent email claiming your bank account is frozen with a link to verify your identity. When you click it, the website you land on is a fake login page designed to look exactly like your bank. Crucially, that fake page doesn't attempt to install anything malicious onto your hard drive for your antivirus to detect.
Wait, so it's just a blank page?
It is simply displaying HTML text and image files and presenting you with a blank field, asking you to manually type in your password.
Hold on. If I'm dropping almost $100 a year on a premium suite like Norton, I expect it to stop someone from stealing my bank login. You're telling me the software just sits there and watches it happen.
Antivirus software scans for malicious code attempting to execute on your machine. In a phishing scenario like this, there is no execution.
Wow.
If you willingly type your personal credentials into a believable fake site and hit submit, the antivirus has absolutely nothing to scan or block. It's just you freely handing over the keys to your financial life.
That is terrifying. The second major vulnerability highlighted is social engineering, which operates on the exact same principle of human manipulation. The classic example is the tech support scam.
We see this one all the time, right?
Someone calls a senior citizen, pretending to be an official representative from Microsoft Tech Support. They create a false sense of urgency, claiming the user's computer is currently infected with a virus, and they need remote access to fix it. If the user willingly clicks allow and grants a total stranger remote control over their operating system, no security software in the world can stop what happens next.
Because the human being with administrative privileges explicitly told the software to allow the connection.
Exactly.
And the third major highly effective vulnerability operating today is credential stuffing.
Break down the mechanics of credential stuffing for us, because it sounds incredibly sophisticated. I mean, if I have top-tier antivirus running with an elite detection engine, shouldn't it be able to block these bots from accessing my computer?
It sounds sophisticated, but the mechanics are remarkably simple. And your antivirus can't stop it because the bots aren't attacking your computer at all. They are attacking the websites you use.
Oh, I see.
Let's say you use the exact same password for a local shoe store's website and your primary email account. The shoe store's poorly secured database gets hacked.
Which happens constantly.
Right. The hackers don't care about the shoes. They take that massive list of stolen emails and passwords, and they program automated bot networks to rapidly stuff those specific credentials into the login pages of every major website, Gmail, banking portals, social media platforms.
They just rely entirely on the fact that human beings are fundamentally lazy and reuse the same passwords across multiple services.
Precisely. If your password from that breached shoe store is reused on your email account, the hackers don't need to write complex malware to break through your local antivirus software. They simply walk right through the front door of your email provider using your own legitimate login credentials.
So your local machine security is entirely irrelevant in that scenario.
Completely irrelevant.
Which perfectly explains why the GuardPick guide outlines an honest security checklist for 2026. And the most striking thing about this list is that installing an antivirus engine is only one small piece of the puzzle.
It's just the baseline.
The vast majority of the list is entirely behavioral. They tell you to ensure Windows updates are set to automatic, so known vulnerabilities are patched. They explicitly recommend using a dedicated password manager, specifically mentioning Bitwarden, which operates completely for free, so you can generate unique, impossible-to-guess passwords for every single website.
That is so important.
And perhaps most importantly, they demand you turn on two-factor authentication, or 2FA, for your primary email account.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this behavioral checklist explains a massive fundamental shift in the cybercrime industry.
What kind of shift?
Hackers have largely abandoned the practice of trying to brute force their way past elite antivirus software. It is simply far too difficult, expensive, and resource intensive to try and outsmart the combined engineering teams at Microsoft, Bitdefender, or ESET.
It's infinitely easier to just hack the human sitting in front of the screen.
They are hacking the user's trust, and they focus almost the entirety of their efforts on breaching your primary email account. Think about the architecture of your digital life. If a bad actor controls your email inbox, they can simply request a password reset link for your bank account, your social media profiles, and your Amazon account.
They have the master key.
Whoever controls your primary email effectively controls your entire digital identity.
That reality makes a specific golden rule from the source material hit so much harder. They wrote, "Good habits plus decent antivirus beats premium antivirus plus careless behavior every time."
It is the fundamental, inescapable truth of modern digital security. The software engine running on your machine is merely the safety net. It is not the acrobat.
I love that analogy.
You still have to walk the digital tightrope carefully, and no amount of money paid to a security firm will change that.
Okay, to wrap up this deep dive and bring all these aha moments together into something actionable, if you are a careful user who just needs a solid, unobtrusive baseline, the modern iteration of Windows Defender is a legitimate, free powerhouse that can absolutely protect you.
Agreed.
If you're dealing with older, slower hardware, ESET is your technical savior because of its incredibly lightweight system impact. If your daily life requires constantly connecting to public Wi-Fi, Norton is your best bet to secure that unlimited VPN.
Right.
And if you want top-tier, set-and-forget protection, and you're disciplined enough to set a calendar reminder to dodge that massive renewal price hike, Bitdefender is your go-to solution.
And regardless of which specific path you choose to take regarding the software, you absolutely must supplement it with those crucial behavioral layers we discussed.
So take 2 minutes right now, as soon as this deep dive is over, to check your settings. Seriously, open up your Windows security menu and toggle on Control Folder Access to lock down your documents. Then log into your primary email account and ensure two-factor authentication is active.
It makes a huge difference.
Those two completely free behavioral steps might save you far more grief than dropping $100 on a premium software suite.
There is a final, rather provocative thought we can pull from all this data, too.
Oh, what's that?
We have spent this entire discussion meticulously analyzing whether a specific piece of software can detect 99.98% or 99.76% of malicious code. But if we accept the reality that the vast majority of modern cybercrime bypasses malicious code entirely, relying instead on manipulating human emotion, urgency, and trust through social engineering.
Where does the industry actually go from here?
Exactly. Will the antivirus of the near future even bother scanning our computers' local hard drives at all? Or will the industry shift toward artificial intelligence systems specifically designed to read our incoming emails, listen to our phone calls, and analyze the context of our communications simply to protect us from willingly handing over our own keys?
Wow. That is a fascinating thought to end on. We spend so much energy worrying about the machine being infected, we completely forget that the human operating it is the weakest link in the chain.
Always has been.
It certainly makes you look at that flashing red shield on a brand new computer a little differently. The real danger isn't what happens when you don't click install. The real danger is trusting that clicking it means you no longer have to pay attention.